Open our hearts and our minds to your truth, to your word. Guide us by your spirit. Lord, help us to understand that it does matter what we say, that we can have the very words of life as we speak truth, as we speak love. But Lord, we know that we can't speak from something we don't have. So Lord, I pray first and foremost that each one here today under the sound of my voice knows you personally as their Lord and Savior. And knowing that your Spirit lives within them and that you will speak through them, that we would be speaking words of love, words of light in the midst of a very dark and a very desperate world that we find ourselves. Father, forgive us of our sins. We know we fail you repeatedly. But Father, we thank you that your love never fails. We ask that you would pick us up, dust us off, and use us for your glory. Father, I pray that you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in the information age. We live in a world full of instant communication. But really, when you think about it, very little truth is communicated. You know, you can go online and look up anything you want to see at all. Probably some stuff you don't want to see. But in any event, you're going to find a lot of information, but you have to be very careful. Is there any truth in it? We have government leaders that tell us all kinds of things, but you have to ask yourself, is there any truth in it? You know, used to growing up, the real news was on television, and you could just about bank that what they told you was the news and only the news. Nowadays, you got to wade through what they say to find out what the truth is in there or not. We live in a very dark world. That song we just saw, you know, talks about the darkness, the peril, the sword. It's all around us. And we're talking about in Sunday school this morning, and it's going to get worse. Scripture says it's going to get worse. It is not going to get better until Jesus Christ returns. Amen? But he also tells us that in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of that death, in the midst of that difficulty, we are to be his salt and his light. We have a purpose. If God did not have a reason for you to be here, he would take you home. He has a reason for you to be here today. He has a reason for you to live, and that is to worship and to honor and glorify him, but also to proclaim his truth, to touch that dark world with a little bit of light of the truth. Why do I do the very first thing every Sunday with Kids with the King? Because I want to make sure they know the truth while they're still young, before they become immersed in the culture of darkness and death. And make no mistake about it, if you don't teach your children about Jesus, Satan will make sure they know about him. Why do you think we find dead three-year-olds in a landfill? Who could do such a thing? Mankind can do such a thing. An unregenerate heart, an unrestrained heart, a heart filled with the darkness of Satan can do and does do. And it's going to get worse. Well, preacher, that's more than I can do. Yeah, it is more than you can do. It's more than I can do too. But it's not more than he can do. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to win. And there's going to be a lot of people, way lots of people, who will be saying, you know, I intended to. One of these days I was going to do it. Well, one of these days is here today. Today is the day. Today is the time. So let's look at this fruit of the mouth. Proverbs 15, starting in verse 28, says this: the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. the ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Boy, don't we need that today? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now, we have a lot of humility today, don't we? No. You have to look hard to find that. We got a lot of pride going on today. Very little humility. Let's keep going. James chapter 3. James will get in your business. Now, I'm going to tell you. You don't believe me? Read the little epistle of James. James will get in your business. James will hurt your feelings. He will hurt your feelings. And James, I'm going to actually start at the very beginning of the chapter. The key verses are there on the board. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect, that means complete, man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, talks about of the body, a little member of the body, and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell itself. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring bring forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevines bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh. Wow. I told you James would get in your business. He says, if our tongue, if our mouth is redeemed, if Jesus is ruling in our life, then evil don't need to come out of the mouth. Now, I wish I could tell you that I never met a Christian, or at least somebody who said they were Christian, that evil came out of their mouth. But that would be a lie. Because I've heard individuals that say they're Christians, at least, they don't talk like it. You look at the news, and you see lots of people in leadership positions that out of one side of their mouth will say that they believe in Jesus Christ, but out of the other side of the mouth comes evil. Now, which is it? And you see, therein lies the problem. If we say that we love Jesus Christ, if we say we walk in the light, if we proclaim that, but then we act differently, we speak differently, then which are we? Are we in the kingdom of light, or are we in the kingdom of darkness? I don't know. I'll tell you what James would say. He'd say, show me. Show me. Can Jesus Christ really and truly live in your heart and life and be the Lord of your life, and out of your mouth come evil? No. It can't be. Can't work that way. Doesn't work that way. If you have a fresh water spring, salt water's not coming out of it. You have a fig tree, it's not going to bear grapes. So if I'm a Christian, really, not just in word, then the words of my mouth ought to be His words. Now, I'm not saying by that a Christian can't ever stumble, because yes, we do. But I'm talking about consistently, we're not going to be saying we walk in the light and speak darkness. people that tell you when they're running for office, yes, I'm a member of this church or whatever, I'm a deacon or I'm whatever, yes, I'm a Christian, and then they go to Washington and vote to kill babies or vote for something else. No, they can't be both. You can't be both. You can't tell me that, oh yeah, I go to church every summer, or every Sunday. But then it sounds like the devil himself talking. You know, you think, did I hear wrong? Let's keep going. Matthew 12, 33 to 37. Jesus speaking here. Brood of vipers. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's anything that I dislike more than a snake, it's a whole bunch of snakes together. And a brood of vipers will be a whole big passel of little baby snakes. Brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, if you don't hear anything else today, hear that. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what does that tell me? That tells me what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And it's true. I bet you that you can even take a person you don't know, spend 15 minutes with that person, and you're going to know what's important to that person. You're going to know what they value. You're going to know what they like because they're going to tell you. When you're around somebody, you're going to know pretty soon if their mouth is sending forth light or darkness. It don't take very long. Don't take very long. A good man, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what? Good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. If you're speaking darkness, if you're speaking death, then that's what's in your heart. I don't care what t-shirt you wear. I don't care if you've got a fish on your car. I don't care if you're sitting in a sanctuary on Sunday. If you're speaking darkness, then that means darkness is in your heart. Don't tell me. I'm like James. Don't tell me. I want to see evidence of it. And part of that evidence, the words we speak. The words we speak. Let's keep going. So what are we talking about? What are we talking about? We're talking about light versus dark. We're talking about life versus death. And we're talking about whatever kingdom we belong to is going to be evidenced by what we speak. First thing we're going to look at is evil speaking. Now, what does evil speaking mean? Well, it means it's a reflection of a dark and a dead heart. We speak, as Jesus said, we speak out of the abundance of our heart. If we don't have light and life in our heart, then we can't truly speak light and life. We can't teach. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says we need to be teaching our children about God. Friends, listen to me. We can't teach them something we don't know. Amen? If we don't really know Jesus, we can't really teach them Jesus. It's going to do very little good for you to tell your children don't lie if you're a habitual liar. It's going to do no good to tell your children don't do this and don't do that if you go do it. They're not going to listen to what you say. They're going to listen to what you do. Our words need to line up with what we do. But the evil speaking is the first thing we're going to hear, and that's going to be a reflection of that dark and that dead heart. There's a lot of people walking around dead. Scripture says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. If we don't know Jesus Christ, we are dead. We're walking around, we're breathing, our heart's beating, we got brain activity at least a little bit, and we're still dead because we don't know Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. There's no exception. There's no exclusions. There's no loophole. There's no back door. If your heart is filled with darkness and death, and those kind of things, you're not filled with the light. I don't care what you tell me. An evil heart, evil speaking, seeks out evil. It amazed me the years I worked in public safety and law enforcement. People that are into that, into drugs or prostitution or whatever kind of vice you want to talk about, if they're into that, they can find it. You don't have to have a sign that says, this is the street you go to buy drugs. They find it. And I'm thinking, how do they find it? I wouldn't know where to go. How do they find it? Because evil seeks out evil. Satan will be glad to show you. Satan loves company. He wants a lot of you to be with him when judgment falls. Scripture says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's also a defeated enemy, and he's trying to take down anybody he can with him. And make no mistake about it, his agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy you. Personally. Evil speaking, now listen to me. Evil speaking is the very spawn of Satan, because he is the father of deceit. He started doing it. He's the one that started it. He lied to Adam and Eve, didn't he? And he hadn't stopped. He'll promise you the world, but he can't deliver anything except death. Evil speaking is the very spawn, the very culmination of what Satan wants in your life. Evil speaking is evidence of a derelict life. What's a derelict? Set adrift, cast away, broken down, falling down. That's our lives without Jesus Christ. I don't care what kind of house you live in. You might live in a pine-level palace like this down here. You might live like that. But if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, that's not what you look like on the inside. It's rotted, falling down. You know, growing up in the big city of Brundage, on the corner of Oak Street, I think it was Oak, whatever that little street is in the back of the town, and East Main Street, I swear it was a haunted house. It looked just like the Munsters' house. It did. It looked just like the Munsters' house. I don't know when the last person ever lived in the house, because, you know, when I was a kid back in the dark ages, nobody lived there. And me and my brother, Mom would send us to the Piggly Wiggly on our bicycles. And we had to go by the haunted, we called it the haunted house. We never went in the house, but we had to go by the house. And we would go fast by the house. Even in daylight, we would go fast by the house, because we knew there had to be ghosts and goblins or monsters or something in that house. It was falling down. Shutters, you know, would fall. It was horrible. Finally, they tore it down. But that's what our life looks like if our heart is filled with darkness. It's falling down. It's rotting away. Secondly, the good news, though, is that the tongue is tameable. Now, Scripture says no man can tame it. And that's the truth. Now, if we're honest, don't raise your hands. But has there ever been a time that you said something and you wish you could have just grabbed it and stuffed it back in your mouth? Because you're like, I should never have said that. I had a teacher, second grade I think it was, Ms. Burke said, if you didn't have something good to say, just be quiet. Be sure your words are sweet, because you may have to eat them again. But God tells us in His Word that the tongue is brought under control by God's Spirit. Not by man, but by God's Spirit. And part of the fruit of the Spirit, if you look at that passage in Galatians chapter 5, part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now that's really maybe a misnomer. It's not a good use of the English word to say self-control, because while it is self-control, it's really not because I'm exerting the control, It's because I've yielded control to God's Spirit. God's Spirit controls the tongue. You ever thought about Jesus on the cross? In agony, physical agony, and also separated from God the Father because of our sins placed on Him. And those people saying, if He was really the Son of God, come down and I'll believe you. Jesus Himself said, do you not think that at one word, I could not have legions of angels to rescue me? And I'll remind you what one angel did to Egypt. How did He hang on that cross? How did He not say something when they were doing that to Him? Because His tongue was controlled. Because He is God. You see, Scripture says we obey, the New Testament tells us we obey God, not because we're scared of what's going to happen if we don't, though that might be a valid concern. We obey Him because we love Him. You see, love is the motivating factor in the New Testament, not judgment. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. I like what somebody in the Sunday school class said, that you know that they obeyed their parents because they didn't want to disappoint their parents. Not because they were afraid of their parents, though it might have been a good fear to have, but you obeyed because you wanted to please them, because you loved them and you knew they loved you. You did not want them to be disappointed. What about you? Do you want God to be disappointed? I hope not. And if you love Him, then you're going to obey because you don't want to hurt Him. The truth is, man cannot control our tongues unless the tongue is submitted to God. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to take more than one time. It's going to take every day. And it may take more than once a day, and that's okay. Salvation is once and for all, but submission is every day. Every day. Don't you eat every day? You ate yesterday. Why you got to eat today? You get hungry, don't you? Well, I submit to God yesterday? Yeah. Better do it today too. Because if you don't, you're going to pick it up and run yourself. Run it with yourself. So the tongue is tameable. We don't have to speak evil. We don't have to speak darkness. We don't have to speak lie. Have you ever noticed you don't have to teach somebody to lie? Kids can do it without being taught because of that nature, that fleshly nature we got. Thirdly, proper speech. We want to speak proper. I don't mean proper English. I mean proper words. Well, what does that mean? The Scripture has a lot to say about what we need to say. The first thing we need to say is confession to salvation. Scripture says, with the mouth, confession is made. You tell Jesus that you confess that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior and that you ask Him to forgive you and that you ask Him to come into your heart and your life and be your Lord and Savior. It's not some act I go through to say that. It's because Scripture says we need to confess. We need to ask Him to do that. It's not magical. It's something we need to do because with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. We need to confess that to the world, that I know Jesus. How does the world know you know Jesus? You might say, well, they can see it in my actions. And yes, they can, and they should, but it takes time for them to see that. They also need to hear it from you. How many of you go through the day without ever mentioning that you're a Bama fan? You might not think about it, but you probably do it many times. Grandparents, how many times do you go through the day and not talk about your grandkids to somebody? I know that don't happen. You know, used to we had pictures of kids. You'd open your wallet and a thing of pictures that big. Now, you know what they do? They pull out the phone and say, here's my 525 pictures of my grandkids. And that's okay. That's good. We talk about what is important to us. Let me ask you, when was the last time you mentioned the name of Jesus Christ? Is He important to you? Praise and worship is a time to raise your voice. I love Brother Michael. He don't need that microphone. He can sing up here without it. All of us can't sing like him. But you can still sing. Scripture says to make what? A what? What does that mean? That means praise Him. It don't mean you've got to be a professional singer. You don't have to sound like Brother Michael to sing. You may be completely... I'll tell you what. I saw a video. I forgot what church it was now. But it was a young teenage girl. And she was deaf. And she was singing... I forgot how the song. She was singing a praise song. And it was so out of tune. I don't even know what key she was in. But there wasn't a dry eye in the crowd. Praise and worship needs to come out of our mouth. Now, the way you act can praise and be praise and worship too? Absolutely, and it should be. But it's got to come out of your mouth. It's got to come out of your mouth. Mike, why does Michael want you to sing? Because he wants you to praise and worship. It's his job to be the minister of worship, to lead you into the presence of God. You ought to already be there when I get up here to preach. And I appreciate you, Brother Michael, and Jan too, because Jan's got a part of that as well, playing the piano. It's to bring us into the presence of God as we worship Him. Why do you have praise and worship music? To get into that mood, to get into that presence by praising. David, man, he says, praise Him on cymbals. Now, you don't see cymbals except in a drum set very often in a praise band. You know, you got in there clanging the cymbals. I'm going to be honest. I used to think that the least talented person in the band played the cymbals. I'm sorry, but that's what I thought. But actually, somebody that knows how to play the cymbals, it is a real instrument. It is, I promise. And Scripture says to praise God on the cymbals. How else should we be using our voices? How about prayer? How about prayer? Some of you met that man that had some issues this morning that came in, and one of the things he wanted was for us to pray for him. And he said, I've forgotten how to pray. And that really struck me. How do you forget how to pray? He says, it's been so long, I don't know how to pray. Prayer. To honor God with the words of my mouth. And lastly, here's this theological term, edification. What's that mean? That means build somebody else up. Teach them. Disciple them. Show them. Encourage them. Too many people today have no clue what this says. Now, part of the problem is so few care what it says. But part of my job is to tell you what it says. Part of the job of those that have discipleship positions here in the church is to teach you what it says. But the greatest teacher of what it says is God's own Spirit. And once you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, His Spirit takes up residence in your life. And if you will pull this out and spend time with it, He will teach you what you need to know. Are there parts of Scripture that are hard to understand? You better believe it. Are there some areas I don't understand? Absolutely, yeah. But the parts I don't understand don't bother me. It's the parts I do understand that bother me. What you need to know, God will illuminate and guide you into taking this in here and then it coming out here. Here's your compass point. Now this one's going to really get in your business. Oops. Sorry. I saved the Bible though. You just leave it down there, Michael. That's fine. Thank you. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Notice what it said. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. That sounds a lot like what my second grade teacher said. It sure does. if you don't have something good to say, just don't say anything. That it may impart what? 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 Impart what? Grace. What's grace? Love. Unmerited, undeserved love. Do you deserve the love of God? No, I don't either. None of us do. That's what makes it such a wonderful gift. That when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, God loved us. Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Father, we've heard Your word today. And Lord, I pray that it is our decision, our determination, our desire to allow Your word to soak into our hearts, to soak into our lives, that we will surrender our life to You, and that Your words will come bubbling out of us and spill out all over everybody else. Lord, if we want our culture, if we want our nation, if we want our world to have light, we've got to reflect Your light. We can't expect government to correct it because they can't do it. We can't expect institutions to fix it. They're not going to do it. We can't wait for somebody else to do it. We've got to be the man, woman, boy, or girl You've called us to be today. We've got to allow the change that needs to happen to start in us today. And it's got to come from Your Spirit as we submit to You. And Father, it's going to influence what we say. It's going to influence what we think. It's going to influence the people we hang around with. It's going to influence everything we do. And God, we've got to want that or it's not going to happen. We've got to want You more than we want the next breath that we draw. We've got to want You more than we want the next meal we're going to have. God, we've got to have You because we're going to die and blow away without You. Lord, help us to hear You. Help us to respond to You. And help us to be who You've called us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.